All right, we'll get started with the audit meeting, audit committee meeting. Denise, if we can call the roll.
Sure. Committee Chair Banks.
Here.
Director Moore. Chair Wolf.
Here.
We have a quorum. We also need to make a motion to confirm whether it's okay for Director Morris to participate in the call.
I'll move it.
There's a motion to permit Director Morris to participate via telephone. Is there a second?
I think you have to
second. I have to second. I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Welcome, Director Morris.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I guess we'll jump right in. This is a monumental day, right? No material findings. Is that what I'm reading in my materials?
Yeah.
Okay. That's my comment or my remark. Can we have a motion to approve the minutes from our committee meeting held on April 11th?
I will move them.
And I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Director Morris, can you hear us clearly?
Yeah.
Okay.
And going right into the review of audit findings, Mr. Fridali.
All right. If we could start off with that PowerPoint presentation. Now, do I control this, or?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Hopefully.
Or I don't.
I can do it for you if you want.
Okay.
We'll
go with that. Did I do that?
I did.
No. All right. So what I'll start off with is a brief listing of the agenda that we'd like to talk about today. It'll be a brief intro by myself of the 2010 external audit and the findings and results from that. I'll turn that over to Linda and Tom, who are joining us today from our external auditors and the Auditor General's office. And then I will jump back in into a discussion about what I'm currently working on, a little background on our self-assessment process, the updates to the internal audit charter that we'd like to confirm today and move for approval, and then go forward goals for the department. The 2010 external audit is a yearly engagement. It's performed by the Special Assistant Auditor for the Auditor General. That's McGladrey and Pullen. This is their sixth and final year, I believe, in the cycle for the engagement. I know Patty Pern, I'd like to thank you from before my time here, but I've heard you've done a lot of legwork with M&P to provide them with a lot of their coordination and information getting for that audit. Going forward, and we'll cover this off in the updates for the audit charter, the internal audit department will also become involved in the coordination of the compliance section of the external review. And this is actually the last slide before I'll hand it off to Linda and Tom, but just a brief description. The 2010 external assessment was an examination of the tollway compliance with certain state statutes and regulations, and also an audit of the basic financial statements. There were no material findings for this audit, which we have up here, first time in tollway history. We're trying to kind of look back, and that's our belief. It was a very good report from what I hear coming in as an outsider, so no material findings that can hardly ever be seen as negative.
Exactly. Sorry.
Which, unfortunately, we'll be going to a new external auditor, so they'll maybe have a fresh perspective. But seriously, very good job. Again, coming from an outside perspective, when you look at an audit that has no material finding, it's regardless of the scope or the organization, that's a very impressive finding. I will turn it over now to either Linda or Tom to go over the immaterial reports and the compliance and financial audit.
Okay. Well, I'll get it started, and certainly Tom can jump in if he wants to. Thought I'd go through the financial statements very briefly first. Is it okay if I stand here?
Yes.
Mark, I just want a table to put my stuff down.
We're still working on how our committees function, so I think we'll next time we'll try to find a more comfortable place.
Oh, this is quite all right. Hopefully, everybody has seen a copy of the combined report. This is a combination of the compliance examination as well as the financial audit. I'm not sure if you have a copy in front of you. I see a couple of you do, but I'm just going to go through the highlights of this. As you just heard, we did a compliance examination as well as a financial audit. The compliance examination, and I'm oversimplifying this, primary pieces. One is we test your compliance with statutes that are generally applicable to every state agency or component unit. But then we also test compliance with mandates that are specifically applicable to the tollway, so those that are unique to the tollway. The immaterial letter that I think you have a copy of in front of you shows the results of any exceptions we noticed in the compliance examination. And there were 8 such items, and we can go through those if you would like in a few minutes. But then also there was a financial audit, which is also included in this report, and I thought I'd go through just some of the financial statement items. First of all, changes in 2010, things that are new in here that if you compare this to last year are going to look new and different. First of all is the treatment of derivatives. You have interest rate swaps, which are derivative instruments. There's new pronouncements out there addressing those. Those pronouncements were implemented in 2010. And what that did was it caused you not only to determine the fair value of those and report on them in your footnotes, but also to bring that information into the balance sheet. So you'll see that added as both an asset and a liability, so no impact on net assets, but you'll see those as new items. The other thing that had a much lesser impact this year was intangible assets. There's a new statement 51 that was issued regarding that, and that also requires you to record intangible assets similar to capital assets. So capitalize those in the balance sheet, amortize them over their useful life. Turns out the tollway had already capitalized easements. That's why there was very little impact this year.
Why is an easement considered intangible?
Because it's a right to go on someone else's property you do not own.
Okay.
So it would be easements, but it would be other things as well. If you ever had trademarks or patents, or
yes.
If you have naming rights to yeah. something.
So it's the potential like for something tangible.
Right. Just to talk about the highlights, financial information, page 22 and 23, which is your balance sheet. Just again to point out where we've added those swaps, 3/4 or more down the page. Page 22, sorry. You'll see something called a deferred outflow of resources as an asset. That's the fair value of those swaps. You'll see the exact same number in your liabilities, derivative instrument liability. So when you see those two items, those are your swaps. Also just total net assets, which is at the bottom of page 23, last year at the end of the fiscal year, it was approximately $2 billion. For the end of 2010, we're at $1.9 billion. So that is a decrease of approximately, I think it's about $96 million or 5% decrease since last year. Two primary things made up that decrease. First of all, the capital assets declined by $100 million, primarily to depreciation. That was kind of offset by your total liabilities also decreasing. You had a $10 million total decrease in debt, long-term debt, and also approximately a $30 million decrease in construction retainage liabilities due to there being less construction than the previous year. And then page 24 is your operating statement, your income statement. Your operating income is compared to the prior fiscal year. That was up about 5%. And it was a dual effect of about a 6% increase in total toll revenue, offset about a 2% increase in total operating expenses. The other thing to point out that's a significant difference since last year, if you just move down a little bit on that same page, is your capital contributions this year compared to last year are much lower. Amounts were higher last year and the year previous to that because these relate to the 355 extension and some of the local governments having you build on and off ramps and that sort of thing. And those are, I know I'm not using the technical terms. And then just one more thing, page 55 and 56. towards the end of the footnotes. It's talking about some new GASB statements that are in your near future that you're going to have to implement. I think the big one for you is statement 60. It's new accounting for your service concession arrangements, which for you is your OAC system. So that's going to be a big change here at the tollway, and it's a change that's going to be not universal to most governments. Most governments don't have these types of arrangements. So there's going to be a lot of inexperience as far as seeing what other entities are doing with these. So it's something you want to think about early.
So this is note 19, just?
Note 19, okay. Top of 56. And the year you implement is 2012. So you've got a year and a half. Well, really less than that, but.
Are we prepared for that?
Statement 59?
Yeah.
60. Ending, well, we're not at this point, right?
It's on our radar.
It's on it, but it's for the year ended 2012,
yes.
Right? So we'll be working toward implementing that, yes.
But you know it's coming.
Yes.
Any questions about this combined audit report?
Well, we might be working with the auditor to figure out the level of detail required on this. Or do you think this is just money in, money out? Or do you think we have to get down to details about?
Well, over the past engagement with respect to new standards that were implemented, we've worked very closely with the audit firm.
They just help us figure out the level of detail.
Right. Obviously, Leslie is involved in researching those issues as well as controller, but there's different interpretations of what that means practically, and so we've worked with past external, McGladrey as well as Tom in terms of.
For instance, we did have some discussions.
Bill, can you hear? Because Tom's sitting a little further away from the mic.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We did implement GASB 53 on the derivatives, which Linda mentioned earlier, and we had discussions about that standard at least a year before, and making sure that we totally have the ducks lined up.
So even if we change our external auditors, we've got you as the continuity?
Yeah, right now we have an RFP on the street for the new auditors. So once we have them on board, I'm sure that
not to mention, feel free to call McGladrey for consulting.
That would be a different RFP.
Yeah, yes, it would. So let's turn to the material findings report. And as mentioned previously, there are 8 items. They're all very immaterial. I don't think there's a need to go through them in detail unless you would like me to do that. I'd be happy to. Otherwise, I could answer questions about those, or you could focus on one or two, whatever you want.
Questions? Anyone? It didn't appear that we disagreed with any of these, correct?
No. I think we concurred with all and reached a concurrence on what the recommendation.
Director Morris, any comments on the immaterial findings?
Nope, I looked them over and we've made real progress in the last couple of years. That's good news.
Paula?
Nope, it's good. Everybody should be congratulated.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bigger letter. This is just a report that is actually addressed to the audit committee. These are just standard communications that every audit firm has to have with either the board or the audit committee if one exists. There's a lot of negative disclosures here, talking about problems we didn't have, that sort of thing. So you can go through this letter at your convenience. There were no audit adjustments that were made to the trial balances. There was one uncorrected misstatement, which was immaterial, and both the audit firm and the tollway agreed that it's something that would be saved for a future year to be posted. That just speeds up the process and helps us get your statements issued in a timely fashion. We're not booking every little thing we find. No significant issues discussed with management. Of course, we have meaningful conversations throughout the audit, like GASB 53 and that sort of thing, but nothing that was a disagreement or not agreeing with the facts, nothing like that. There's a page in here on page 4 that talks about what the GLAD felt were the most significant estimates in the financial statements and kind of management's approach to dealing with those estimates, what the process is for coming up with those. Of course, the derivatives was the big one this year. Then there's a copy of the letter that is signed by Mike, a couple other folks. Can't remember who else signed it along with you.
No.
The management representation letter.
Thank you, Tom and Christy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there's the rec letter for both the financial audit and then a separate one for the compliance examination. So there's two of those items. And then finally, you have your copy of the immaterial findings included.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I had a question on, let's see, it would be under, it would be finding IM10-1. It was talking about what are basically bad debts, the uncollected tolls that we're probably never going to collect. And I wondered, shouldn't the board at some point have to approve writing these off so that we don't have this continue to pop up in the future, and at the same time it takes some of the pressure off the staff of just writing off a big number, when in fact I think it's probably pretty safe to say we're never going to see this money?
Well, I think we do that every year, don't we?
We do have a process for requesting formal write-offs of uncollectible amounts. What we've done to this point is to reserve for those doubtful accounts, but not to take a formal write-off. Violation receivables, we have not yet acted on with respect to write-offs, in part because many are still going through the collection process. It is our expectation that next year we would have a number of those receivables that we would bring to the board to request write-off. If you recall on the miscellaneous receivables that we've brought forth in the past, if it's an individual account less than $1,000, it can be done by the tollway board. If it's more than $1,000, would require write-off or agreement, sign off by the Attorney General's office as well as the Board of Directors. So
what I'm just wondering, Mike, though, is, like it says, this is a current finding, and I don't think this was in last year's audit.
Yeah,
so I'm just wondering if
actually
why it popped up here, because I thought we had a process.
Can I speak here quickly?
Sure.
First of all, this is repeated from last year. It's just it wasn't as noticeable last year because it was part of a bigger finding with other issues surrounding it.
It was a bullet point.
Right. I think it was finding one also last year, but in the financial statement report. But this issue is a little different than just writing off receivables where you've seen them uncollectible. This is from the old system before you went to the new system where there isn't identifying data for these individual amounts. Because when you converted the data, you got most of it. But there were little pieces where the old system didn't maintain the level of detail that you needed to support what was recorded on the books. Is that right?
Isn't that prior to 08?
Prior to 08,
is that old? They didn't book all the receivables. That's where you find it.
Okay.
So the balance, the receivable balance on the book
was higher.
If you want a list of the detail, it was $3.3 million. That's what it is. You could get a list of individual listing that equal one ledger. And it's because of the 9 years.
So this isn't forgiving certain individuals of a debt. This is a different issue.
It's adjusting the system so they're comparable.
It's writing off the balance in your general ledger so it equals the detail where you can support individual amounts, if that makes sense.
Okay, Director Morris?
Yep, thank you very much.
Shall we move on to internal audit?
If we can go back to that PowerPoint presentation.
When do we shoot off the fireworks from the Gladry Pool? Do we thank you now, or do we thank you at the end of the
meeting?
Good question. Or just throughout.
All right, the next item on the agenda, the self-assessment overview. Part of the requirements from a SIABB, State Internal Audit Advisory Board, is that once there are either major changes, significant changes in the auditing standards that are used by an agency or resource changes, that an internal assessment be performed on the department. It's somewhat of a review or a compliance review of the actual internal audit department itself. So we fell into both parameters this year. We had new IIA, Institute of Internal Auditor standards effective January 1st of this year, and then myself coming in as the Chief Internal Auditor was a resource change within the department. So I started on June 1st, and one of the first things that I've been working on is this self-assessment process. What it is beyond the review is a step-by-step walkthrough of conformance with Institute of Internal Audit standards, FISA standards, so the fiscal control and internal auditing act standards, as well as